KA2PTE, and the great LibertyNet Review. This is WB4AIO.
This is definitely not the Liberty Net.
Yeah, go ahead.
How you doing, Jeff?
Yeah, this is definitely the informal Liberty Net, and the Liberty Net is something I've been involved with since 1987. WB4AIO for ID.
Ghostbusters.
What'd you say?
Jesse, is that you? 4GFC from KA2.
And the man you can check with to confirm my participation since 1987 is W1WCR. I guess that was just a drive-by, Steve.
I think
he was doubling with you for a second there, but I couldn't understand what he said.
Oh, roger that. KG4ZXC from KA2PTE, do you copy?
Well, if it was he just hates me because a lot of lies have been told about me to him over the telephone. That's really what it's all about.
All right, did I double with him again?
No, I don't think he did. I think it was just that once. He said something, it was unintelligible, and then he disappeared.
Oh, roger that. Yeah, he said it's not the Liberty Net, so, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I can only speculate. I don't know, he hasn't said anything to me in a while, so I guess the fact that I'm Q-stone with you probably has something to do with it. I don't know, but I'd like to be a little bit open-minded and talk to him and others about it. You know, Jesse's kind of new to the Liberty Net, so you know, this kind of stuff, you know, that happens with you and Marty, you know, I guess it's got its collateral damage still, you know, ongoing. I'm trying to just sort of put it in perspective and still keep the net moving in the right direction and have it, you know, still have some kind of decent momentum, you know, from week to week is really all I'm trying to get going. And, you know, I guess the concept is still available, you know, that if anybody wants to show up here one night and just air it all out, you know, get it all out in the open, you know, there's no better way to get over something than to actually get it out of your system by talking about it. It's not going to cure, you know, 100% of the problem, but it definitely gets things in better perspective. I don't understand why, all this running around and sort of just, being covert. I don't know if that's really going to accomplish much, but we do have Ham Radio as an opportunity to get together and communicate, so we could use it in that fashion and see what happens. You know, it doesn't really, it's not like I don't think anything is going to get worse, by trying. It could maybe improve, get it in perspective better, but it seems like not a lot of people are interested in doing that in order to give it a shot. So I'm at a loss, but I don't have anything against Jesse. He's a man. He decides, what he wants to do. That's why God gave us brains to put them in our heads, to make decisions for ourselves. I never hold it against anybody, for deciding what they want to do, what's best for them. But I'm just trying to keep delivering that movement in the best direction that I see fit, and I don't see any kind of trouble at the moment, having the Q-Show with you and talking about hey, radio, getting stations together, antennas, it's common amateur, topics of interest. So, what more could you ask for? That's where we're at. Anyway, if anybody else is out there and wants to make a comment, go right ahead. Otherwise, I guess back to you, Kevin.
Okay, nobody heard. Yeah, KA2PTE, WB4AIO. Yeah, I'd like to be friends with Jesse. I've tried to QSO with him a couple of times, and I tried to email him, and he reacted somewhat hysterically. Poor Jesse. But, a reasonable person would want to hear both sides of the story. And that's, what more can I say than that? If somebody tells you that somebody else is the devil, I think you should suspect that maybe there's some kind of ulterior motive going on and want to hear what the other fellow has to say. So I'll just say, I'd like to be friends with Jesse. I'd like to talk to Jesse. And I'd like to explain my side of the story to Jesse. And secondly, I don't want to obsess about that particular issue. My main focus, and I think anybody who listens to me on the Liberty Net, when I'm on the Liberty Net, anybody who listens to my Liberty Net recordings, which I make every week, twice a week actually, maybe three times a week if the Liberty Net review recordings take off, is just to carry on the purpose that Vic W1WCR founded the net for, and that is the discussion of important ideas, the discussion of current events, and the promotion of truths that maybe the mainstream media don't allow out there. And that's the reason I got on the Liberty Net, for the freedom of speech and for the ideas, and that's the reason why I'm continuing to be a part of it. So that's what that's all about. And by the way, Steve, that was a great idea of talking to Victor about making a new heatsink board and maybe doubling the number of serpentine, I don't know what the word for those is, but channels, not channels, but serpentine turns. I'll just call them turns. The turns or the serpentine windings of the heatsink tubing that's soldered onto that board. If I could just increase that, that would probably carry away a lot more heat. So asking him to do it, and maybe for the good of his company, doing it for free, or maybe I would pay a reasonable amount of money to be able to make longer transmissions and have better heatsink capabilities. That is really a great idea, and thank you for that, Steve. So anyway, great to talk to you, Steve. I'm going to sign out. I have some things to do before I sleep. It's been wonderful to talk to you. I'm glad that the line noise subsided and I can hear your 100 watts with the 75 meter antenna. Okay. KA2PTE, WB4AIO, saying 73 and good luck in the contest.
Hey, wait a minute. This is W1WCR checking in.
Oh my goodness.
A copy is, it's not as loud as last time, but it's copyable.
Wow,
very good. You're sounding good here. I got you at about 5 over 9, and I'm just going with WB4AIO, which talks about some LibertyNet stuff that we're doing here and there. We got another sort of a net going on Sunday on the CT100 platform, and we're calling it the LibertyNet Review, and we're playing some recordings that took place on Saturday night on that. We're trying to get some more check-ins.
Wow, it's great to hear you, Vic. W1WCR, WB4AIO. Wow, that's wonderful. Welcome.
Yeah, it's my nice to hear you, too. You're blasting in there. What kind of antenna are you running?
This is an inverted L Marconi antenna, 150 feet in total length, with two elevated radials and fed with open wire line.
Well, it's done a tremendous job. Also elevating your signals.
Yeah, that's great. I've got an amplifier that overheats easy, though, so if you ever ask me a question and I don't come back, it means I need to let the amplifier cool off. I got a problem with this amp.
Say, what kind of amp is it?
It's one of those Russian LD Moss amps. It's an EB-104, and I absolutely love it. I love the craftsmanship. I love the output devices. I love everything about it except the cooling system. If I talk for more than 4 minutes or so, it often cuts me out until it cools off.
Wow, that's unusual.
Yeah, I think it was designed for guys who are DX contesters or something, and they only make short transmissions. It's terrible for the LibertyNet.
Yes, extremely short. You're 5x9.
Yeah, really. I think that's what they designed it for. I like old-fashioned gear where you can just talk. You could talk for an hour and it would not burn up.
Yes, that's what I like too. So, sorry to hear that it does things like that. I would think they would have a quick way of repairing that, or at least you could supply some cooling air or cooling water, maybe.
It is a water cooled amp, and it has fans that blow across the radiator for the water cooling. And I have just purchased some fans that have four times the CFM, and we'll see if that solves the problem.
Yes.
My problem is I have to get some time from all my busy activities of publishing and broadcasting and all that stuff to actually take half a day or a day and install the fans.
Yes, I know how it is. It's the press of business.
Absolutely. One has to do business.
Yes, that's not monkey business, just plain old hard nails business.
Yes, sir. Although I like a little monkey business every now and then, too.
Yes, that helps break the schedule up a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, great to hear you, Vic. I'm so happy. You must be gaining strength.
Well, I gained a little bit of strength, but not as much as I want. But if anyone out there knows of a remedy for loss of strength and loss of musculature due to sarcopenia or whatever cause, I'm certainly interested in it. And my email is always open to ideas. And the email here is wikk@netzero.net. So if you have any ideas on strengthening the muscle mass or increasing it, I'm interested. And that's about all I do now is research this stuff to try to repair my body and get rid of some of the aging effects that have ransacked my musculature. So anyway, sorry you have to go, but that's the way it is. And with that, I guess I'll turn it back to Steve, KA2BTE from W1WC.
I'll stick around for a few more. Go ahead, Steve.
All right, Kevin, sounds good. W1WCR and WB4AIO from KA2.
Yeah, linear has definitely got some issues there, but it sounds like the company that makes it over in Russia is at least receptive towards the issue, and I gave Kevin a couple of ideas to try regarding getting that information and better instinct that might fix that problem, because usually if the manufacturer is serious about their product, you know, they take something like this as an opportunity. You know, it's either a crisis or an opportunity. So if it's an opportunity, you get a solution going and you make the customer happy. And in this case, the customer knows probably what would even work as a solution. So if he's got the idea, all the guy that's making the gear has to do is find, I guess, whoever fabricated that heatsink concept for them and try to make a better one. And they could offer that as an accessory and that actually improves the product. So somebody that just doesn't want to do DX contacting and wants to make long transmissions, there's a mod, you know, the WB4AIO and KA2PCE long transmission mod, you know, if it would be called, whatever, you know, but doesn't sound like something, you know, that's just too hard. It just, I guess it depends on, you know, how the Russian mentality approach to it is, I don't know, but the capitalist approach sort of is that way, you know, where you improve the product, you know, it's a win-win for both sides, so hopefully the Russians work that way as well. I don't know with the Russians yeah, you guys are doing good here. The band's working pretty well, and Victor, I did get a little time to get a 220-volt line installed by a local electrician, so I have a 220-volt line right where I'm going to operate the power supply, the thunderbolt, and this electrician that I got, he turned out to be a real good guy. He bought a receptacle to put on the end of the line cord for the power supply, but when he went to put it on, he kept stripping back the outer casing, and he said, you know, these three wires in there, they're just dry rotted. He says, every time I go to touch them, they fall apart, he showed me. So we had to, you know, get that line cord out of there. And he supplied me another brand new 3 or 4 feet of cord. So I've been trying to, last week I opened up the bottom of the supply, and I went in there and I started to, I've taken the old cord out, and I'm sort of soldering the new cord in there in between my sinus problem that I've been having with my health, which has been a pain in the neck. I'm sort of amazed at how I've been down to try to do something like this. You know, I can only do maybe a small amount of it, and then the energy level just gets wiped out. I gotta go rest for a while, then I just get up again, then I can start over another wire, you know, it's ridiculous, you know, because I mean, I used to be able to get in there, I would usually have something like this done in maybe 4 hours top, you know, that's pushing it to the extreme, but, you know, to solder three wires in on a cable, you know, to have it take a week, that's just ridiculous, but, you know, then again, I got this full-time job, you know, that I work, besides this, so I guess that, you know, soaking up a lot of the energy that is a factor in it. But I did make progress with that, and I was going to ask you a question about the Thunderbolt, because I was curious. I asked Greg K1YW that, you know, if we can bring three Thunderbolts in and out without the placement form, I was wondering how the 400A tubes, I was wondering how they get their cylinder lit, and this guy was also asking me today how they get their grid voltage, and I was wondering if I have to ask you guys, so if you're capable of answering that question, maybe you could let me know what the deal is with
Yeah, what is the question about the 4400s? I'm not sure that I know what the problem is, but the filament voltage for the 4400A's is right from the Thunderbolt chassis itself, I believe. There's no no filament transformer in the main power supply. But I haven't looked at that for decades, so it's very difficult for me to really comment properly on the thing, but there should be no problem in lighting up the 4400A's the way the system was set up originally, and I congratulate you on the 220 volt line. I think that's great to have that in, and you can have flicker-free operation with 220 volts. I used to try to run that on one side of the line on 120, but it would cause the lights in the house to flicker when I did that. Every time I modulated, the lights would flicker in rhythm with the speech. Yeah, unless you have a question here too, and that is the LibertyNet review. What frequency and time is that, over?
Roger that. Yeah, we're doing the LibertyNet review right now. It's on that GQ100 virtual ionosphere for the Windows operating system. I think I mentioned it to you a while ago before you got those health problems. Removed, and I'm figuring the plate transformer maybe had the filament
voltage derived on that, and I wasn't sure if maybe somebody put a separate filament transformer in there and hooked it up to the 120-volt plug input that's on the back of the Thunderbolt. I don't know, but it's been a while since you've been around, so I kind of lost track of what was going on, so figured I'd ask the guy that has the most experience with this being with you. So back to you, W1WTR from KA2PTE.
Okay, I'm having some trouble copying. Your signal has decreased somewhat, so it makes it difficult. Plus, my ears are bad, and one of the things I'm trying to do is rejuvenate my hearing, and I'm working on that, too. I've got a lot of work to do on this anti-aging stuff. One thing that you could do to help me is to put all this stuff in an email, and then I can properly answer any questions, and I can see exactly what you're saying, rather than being interrupted or broken up by static. So that should help me quite a bit. So anyway, there we are. So this Liberty Net review is going to be on this frequency, and after the main net on 3995.
I think what we're doing right now is we're doing it on Sunday mornings on this virtual ionosphere program, and I wanted to just switch to do it on the real ionosphere, just do it on 3995, but do it in the morning, you know, like 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning on 3995 kilohertz on the real ionosphere, not on this virtual ionosphere on the computer. But unfortunately, I could hear Steve perfectly on 3995 or vicinity of 3995 this morning at 10:30 or so in the morning. I could hear him just fine because with these low sunspot counts, you know, the daytime propagation is amazingly good on 75 meters. In fact, even on 160, there's daytime propagation, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But unfortunately, Steve has his station in a commercial area. It's a lot of businesses right next door to him almost. And one of them has some kind of a horrible buzzsaw that has a 10 over 9 noise all over 75 meters, and he couldn't hear me. So that was the problem. And we're sort of undecided. We have the informal Liberty Net on Sunday night, but we're sort of undecided if that's the right venue for playing our clips and commenting on the previous night's Liberty Net. We're thinking maybe it's better just to make brand new comments on the informal Liberty Net. So anyway, we're just trying to generate activity, and I think both Steve and I are very open to any ideas on how to do it. And what Steve asked you, Vic, was that he was wondering, he thought maybe the filament winding of the high voltage, the high voltage transformer in the Thunderbolt might have had a filament winding, but I don't think that's standard for higher power amplifiers like that. I think that would not be a normal thing to do. I know in lower power rigs they sometimes put a filament winding on the high voltage transformer, but I would think, and maybe you agree with me, that's very unlikely that they ever did that in the Thunderbolt. I think in the higher power gear, that's just about never done. W1WCR and KA2PTE, WB4AIO, still hanging in here for a few minutes.
Okay, we're all fine. That clarifies a lot of things. Thanks, Kevin. Originally, the way the Thunderbolt was designed, all of the power was generated inside its own chassis. The high voltage, the filaments, everything was self-contained, and it was only because the power transformer blew up that it now has an external power supply. But this external power supply that it now has is capable of putting out more power than the old setup had, and it puts out a higher voltage, so it has advantages to it. But the filaments were
where government voltages were stepped down from the 220 volts inside the Thunderbolt chassis, and I think they still are. I think when you plug that into 220, you'll find that the 4400A's will light up like a Christmas tree. So, also another item on the Thunderbolt, the fans on there are not the original fans that were used for cooling the tubes. The original fan was a dinky little fan that developed bearing noise and began to chatter, and actually it didn't prove to be terribly efficient in pumping air either. So as a result of that, I mounted those two largish muffin fans on the sides of the cabinet, and those always seem to provide enough cooling air so that there was no overheating possibility. So anyway, I think you'll have no problem lighting up the filaments. That should be right on board. The high voltage supply had, I believe, 866's mercury vapor rectifiers, which were lousy, and they were unreliable and caused all kinds of problems. So I went from 866's to the argon version of the 866, which has, I think, a slightly higher forward loss, but now was a lot more reliable in that the argon version didn't arc over like the mercury vapor version did. But then I replaced it with the high voltage selenium rectifiers, which is what's in there today. The filament lines are totally disconnected since there's no filament on the diodes. So you've got direct high voltage with no necessary filaments for rectifier tubes. Anyway, what develops will develop, and it's the practicalities of these situations that finally determine what we do after the main event. Some will stay, some won't, and depends on the ionosphere on and on like that, but it's good to see the activity. I like activity. So I guess with that, I'll shoot it back to Kevin, WD4AIO from W1WCR.
Okay, great, Vic. W1WCR and the Informal Liberty Net with KA2PTE. This is WB4AIO. I probably will have to go soon. I've got my sweetheart waiting for me. But, man, I couldn't leave when you checked in. I had to stick around to talk to you, Vic. It's been many, 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 many months since I talked to you on the radio. Of course, we have talked on the phone, but it's something special. Really special to hear you on the radio, and I'm glad my system, despite the fact that it overheats, is putting in a big signal up in New Hampshire. That makes me very happy. I try to have an efficient antenna systems and good linear amplification and clean signals, and so I guess I'm at least somewhat succeeding, and that makes me very pleased. I think I'm going to post to the LibertyNet email list a diagram of this antenna system, which is pretty efficient and pretty easy to put up. I think I'm going to post, I sent it to Steve already, but I think I'm going to post it to the LibertyNet email list so others can see what I'm doing. And if they want to, maybe duplicate it. I was thinking maybe Steve could easily duplicate an inverted L antenna held up by trees and maybe gain some efficiency here on 160 and people would hear him better. And before I go, though, I just wanted to say that I've watched a number of Bill Falloon videos, and thank you very much, Vic. And here's somebody walking by that might want to say hello to you, Vic.
Hello. Hi, Vic.
That's my wife, Meredith. So I think she got all excited when she heard that I heard you and I was talking to you on the radio. So back over to you, Vic. I'm going to have to go real soon, though. And Steve, thank you for your suggestions and thank you for running the Informal Liberty Net. And I've had a great time. WB4AIO. Go ahead, Vic.
Okay, real fine. And hello, Meredith. Great to hear you. And greetings from New Hampshire. Thanks for checking in. And with that, I'll pass it right over to Steve.
Okay, Victor, W1WCR from KA2PTE. All right, Kevin, yeah, it was fun hearing you in here tonight. Good discussions, as always. And 7-3, enjoy the rest of your night. And have a productive week, I guess, is the best way to say it. And I'll catch up with you, I guess, during the week. I'll look for the emails going out to the LibertyNet resource. And, Victor, yeah, I will get an email together with some questions for you about Thunderbolt and other stuff like that. And that way it'll be better to communicate it that way. So maybe the band's starting to dip out a little bit here, and it might be a good time to just sign off and call it a night, because I could use some rest with this sinus infection giving me a pain in the neck every now and then. So I'll say 7-3 to you, Victor. Good hearing you in there, and hope your health stays in a positive direction. And look for an email from me during the week. So I'll say 7-3 from KA2PTE. Lovely New York, New England, United States, former United States of America, 7-3 from KA2PTE, and I'll leave it to you to wish the ships at sea.
Okay, Steve, very fine. Yeah, I guess I ought to probably be bidding the sack here, too. And, let's see what this thing is doing. I'm getting some standing waves here. Oh, hang on. I guess that's good enough. Anyway, been great to talk, and it's great to be back on the air again, albeit a bit briefly. One more comment on the Johnson Thunderbolt. The original design called for AB2 operation of the 400A, and that meant that you were drawing a small amount of grid current, a couple of milliamperes or whatever it was. I don't know what it was, but I converted it to AB1. So it should draw not quite zero, but pretty close to zero filament hour by grid current. So the grid current, the way she stands now, should be extremely low, and the operation of the unit should be extremely linear. So that's it for now. Anyway, 73 is all around. Great to hear everybody, and we'll look for you next time. KA2PTE and WB4AIO. This is W1WCR, now nodding away.
Okay, Vic, you really made my day. You absolutely made my day. I'm so happy to hear you back. And keep on the upward trend. You sound great. And I am keeping this recording forever. I recorded this QSO 73. And thank you, Steve, for all your help and your ideas on helping me with my cooling problem. 73 to both of you guys, and good night. WB4AIO in Western PA, closing down for the night.